Well, our God is present. He exists beyond time and space, and therefore he is without limit. So everywhere you go, and every when, God is with you. Think about what the implications of that are in your day-to-day decisions, in the way that you carry yourself, in your worship. How does it influence your integrity or your character? We're going to look at those three areas today, actually, daily life, character, and worship this morning, as we continue our series about the attributes of God. We are calling this our great God, and today we're talking about how God is present. Would you pray again with me as we ask God to lead us? Lord, God of all creation, we ask that you would reveal yourself and your will to us today as we look at your word about your presence. Reveal yourself here and now as we study and worship together. Teach us more about you. Help us to understand and help us to know how to follow you in our daily lives. We are weak, but you are strong. Without your help, we will not succeed. And so we acknowledge who you are as Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the point of this exercise that we've been going through, and then we're going to do this for the next couple of weeks leading up to Advent, the point of this exercise is to get a better handle on understanding the God whom we serve. You know, our misunderstandings of God can take us to some pretty dangerous places. We can go to wrong places in our faith and in our faith practice if we don't really understand who God is and how he relates to us. Our misunderstandings can take us far away from God and from his intentions in our life. And so it's really important for us to get to know who he is. We all know the many things that have been said and done in the name of God, right? That have been disconnected from what God actually said in the Bible. So we need to look a little more closely at what the Bible actually says. We began 2 weeks ago with God is powerful. In fact, he's all powerful. And then last week we looked at God knows everything. You know, we talked about omniscient, omniscience, you know, omni meaning all or everything, and science being knowledge. God has all knowledge. And today we're talking about God being present. They call that omnipresence, all presence. Well, what does it mean that God is present? We have this wonderful word that we use to describe Jesus. It's one of the names of Jesus that was part of prophecy. It's one of the names of Jesus that we emphasize when we come into the Christmas season, which is not too far away. Emmanuel, which means God with us. And this is a very powerful truth. In fact, it's such an important truth that we're going to spend all of December talking about God with us and all through that season, because it's very important to understand what it is to have the presence of God with us. And when we say God is present, we mean that he's here right now. Right here, right now, God is with us. I began today by saying everywhere and every when. Think about that for a moment. God is not restricted by time and space, and God is in all places, that is able to look out and see all of time at one time. And God is present in all places in this world and every world that's been created. God is with us. He is with us. Do you ever have trouble sleeping? See, lots of heads gone. Yeah, I have trouble sleeping sometimes, too. Sometimes I sleep really well, and then I'll go through periods where I'll just sleep terrible for a couple of months at a time, and then sort of cycles around. But you know, what do you do when you can't get to sleep at night? Or what do you do when you wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and it's like, oh, my goodness, I'll never make it. And I really need this sleep. But you know what? I've discovered something, that in those times where, you know, you're just laying there and you're hoping to get to sleep, and in those times when you wake up at 3 in the morning and you're just, you know, again, you're laying there, I found that some of those times can be some of the best prayer conversations you can have with God. Now, I tell you why I think that is. I think that when you're really tired like that and you can't sleep and it's like that, I think, you know, you're too tired to put on the mask. You're too tired to play games with God. You're more likely to just be honest, you know, to just sort of tell it like it is and just sort of talk to God. At least that's what I do. And I find that some of those times are just wonderful and beautiful. Now, aren't you glad that God doesn't hang up a sign at 5 o'clock that says, closed? We're closed for the day. You know, sorry, prayers beyond this are just bouncing off the walls. But if you come back in the morning after 9 o'clock, we'll be very happy to serve you. God doesn't behave like that. He's there all the time. And he's there with you when you can't sleep. And he's right there and ready for that kind of conversation. You know, I've shared before that several years ago I had a parachute malfunction at 3,000 feet. Parachute didn't open properly. I was spinning towards the ground, and I lost, just in a few seconds, lost 1,000 feet. Checking my altimeter. And I have this audible altimeter that started going off, beep, 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 tell me it's time to open. And I lost another 1,000 feet. And I just cried out to God. I said, help me, Jesus. That was it. That was the total length of my prayer. No King James prayers, no fancy stuff. Just help me, Jesus. And this instant sense of the presence of God came over me that was just so peaceful, and my head cleared, and I knew exactly where to go next and what to do. And I cut away from my parachute, and I had a new parachute, and I was able to land safely. And I tell you, on that day, I was very glad that God is there at 3,000 feet, you know, or 2,000 feet, or 1,000 feet. I think by the time my chute was fully open, it was like 900 feet or something. It was getting down. It was really close. But God was there when I called on him. God is everywhere, not just in those crazy situations, but in those sleepless situations, in those day-to-day situations, no matter where you are. God is with you every day in your Christian life. Scripture says this, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. God is there. It says God is ever-present. Ever-present. Always present. Always there. Now, I want us to think through some of these implications, because it really does have major implications as to how we live out our Christian life and as to what, you know, what happens as we go through our day-to-day stuff. So I want to look at these three areas I mentioned at the beginning. And the first area I want to look at is everyday life. What does it mean to us in our everyday life to say that God is present? Does it make any difference to you? I mean, does it matter? We spend a lot of our day doing very ordinary things, right? You know, let's face it, you know, we're not always on our knees in prayer. We're not always studying the scriptures. We're not always in that conversation with God at the beginning of the day. We're not always in here in worship on a Sunday morning. Most of our week is pretty ordinary stuff, you know, like making coffee and drinking coffee and thinking about drinking coffee. You know, those kinds of things, very ordinary things. Taking out the trash, driving the kids, caring for parents. You know, there are lots of things that come in our week that are either very ordinary stuff or sometimes they're difficult things to do. And somehow we compartmentalize our faith. We think about these things as separate time, separate from our worship time. Separate from spiritual things like devotions or prayer or worship or volunteering or, you know, whatever it is we're doing with God and for God. But are these things really separate? Are they really? A while back, you know, a few weeks back, we were talking about prayer, and I mentioned a short quote by St. Teresa of Avila. And she lived in 1550 to 1582. But I want to give you a little bit of the quote. I want to share this whole section with you, this whole thing that she said. She said, don't think that if you had a great deal of time, you would spend more of it in prayer. Get rid of that idea. God gives more in a moment than in a long period of time. for his actions are not measured by time at all. Know that even when you're in the kitchen, here's the quote we shared a couple of weeks ago, even when you're in the kitchen, our Lord is moving among the pots and pans. Well, I like that, God among the pots and pans. Maybe some of you are familiar with Brother Lawrence. For years, we would give graduates a copy of Practicing the Presence of God, which is a, if you've never read it, it'll take you in an hour to read it. It's very small. But it's just a really good collection of things that Brother Lawrence said. But here, let me share a piece from that particular gathering. He says, he does, talking about God, he says, he does not ask much of us, merely a thought of him from time to time, a little act of adoration, sometimes to ask for his grace, sometimes to offer him your sufferings, at other times to thank him for the graces, past and present, that he has bestowed on you. In the midst of your troubles, to take solace in him as often as you can. Lift up your heart to him during your meals and in company. The least little remembrance will always be the most pleasing to him. One need not cry out very loudly. He is nearer than we think. He is nearer than we think. God is present. God is here. And God is there with you wherever you are. I know some of you have told me you like Anne Voskamp. She's a really interesting writer. I always like going on her website and seeing what she has, her pictures and the things that she has to say. And she has a lot to say on this subject, actually. If you go look on her website right now, you'll find this. There's an article on this very subject that she's put up. And one of the things I like that she says that in life's goings on, because of all the ordinary that we do, she says, you can lose your precarious way by 10 o'clock in the morning. You know, it doesn't take very long for us to kind of lose our spiritualness, you know, to get lost in all the things that are going on. She says, the mother in the kitchen is the one who can actually give life to the words of the speaker on the platform. Platform words are dead words until brave people live them out in the kitchen. Now, all these three people talk about kitchens, but we're not suggesting that God only lives in the kitchen, that God's only present when you're in doing the dishes or something like that. And here's another quote. Let me just put this up because I think this is really cool. She says, doctrine in the kitchen is doctrine in real life. In other words, you know, our faith is meant to be wherever we are because that's where God is. Everywhere we are, whether it's in the kitchen or the workshop or at work or at school or wherever we are, God is present. The great joy is that we don't leave God behind in the church building. We've talked about that. You know, we don't just walk out of here, God stays here and waits for us to come back. God goes with us wherever we go. And because of that, because of God's presence, even some of the common things that we do in life can be sacred moments. Doesn't matter where you are. God goes with you. I'm often amazed at people who make major decisions in their life decisions, you know, selling a house, retiring, you know, getting a new job, all kinds of things, without ever once asking God. But he's right there with us in all of those things. Why not talk to God about it before we make the decision? That's a good time. But then, after we make the decision and through the beginning of whatever that next phase is, you know, we just keep talking to God about it. So what about our character? Character is important, right? We often talk about integrity. Does knowing God is present with you have any effect on your character, do you think? I hear that, amen. Someone once defined integrity as being the same person in private as you are in public. You know, it's not the other way. And someone else said, it's doing the right thing even when there's nobody else around. I think those are pretty good definitions of integrity. But God is around, isn't he? He's always there. Always, always. Jeremiah 23, the prophet talks about this. He says, "Can a man hide himself in hiding places so I do not see him?" declares the Lord. "Do I not fill the heavens and the earth?" declares the Lord. "Am I a God who is near?" declares the Lord, "and not a God who is far off?" In other words, I'm there. I can see you. I know what you're doing. I know what's going on. The context talks about that. Sometimes we might wish that God wasn't there. Right? You know? There are times where I say something or do something, I go, "Oh, I hope God didn't see that." Well, that doesn't work because he's already seen it and he's already heard it, right? It's already gone by. Maybe it's one of the reasons we don't think about the presence of God very often, because it makes us uncomfortable. You know? It makes us feel uncomfortable. Because acknowledging his presence means that he sees us when we choose not to say or do the right thing, as well as when we say or do the right thing, right? None of us are perfect. We all sin at times, every one of us. And it's more comfortable, I think, to ignore God's presence sometimes, isn't it? Acknowledging God's presence forces us to change things and us. It makes us realize that our thoughts and our words and our behavior ought to reflect him. Sometimes when I think about that, just the thought of it is crushing. It's like, oh my goodness, how I'm not measuring up. Remember what we talked about last week. We talked about how God isn't sitting there collecting information so he can whack you with a giant fly swatter every time you do something wrong or hit you with a lightning bolt. What if God's presence, in its most important way, is for another reason? What if God's presence is to go with you, to walk with you, to take your hand, to hold it? God's presence through his Holy Spirit leads you, if you listen. He guides you as you ask him. He comforts you as you embrace him. He teaches you as you submit to him. He makes even more of your life than you could make on your own. Often far, far more. Yeah, praise the Lord. Remember, we don't rely on ourselves to make change, but we rely on him to transform us as we are willing. That doesn't mean that we're passive and just sort of sit back and say, "Okay, God, change me." You know, we're partners in this. God expects us to do our part. But the change, the stuff that happens to your soul, the stuff that happens to your spirit, the things that are happening in your heart, that's God making that change. And we rely on him to do that. The implications of God's presence in our character is that our character can grow and strengthen as we learn to know God on a deeper level. The more we know God, the more our character begins to reflect him. Now, some of you may not feel that, and let me tell you why. Because what happens is, as we draw closer to God, we're more aware of our otherness from God. We're more aware of the fact that we're sinful human beings, and God is sinless. And so we become more aware as we draw closer to God. And so our consciences become more active. And sometimes, you know, we're really hard on ourselves because, you know, all we can see is our lack of holiness. But when you confess your sins to God, what does God see when he looks at you? He sees nothing but the blood of Jesus. Because the blood of Jesus shed for you on the cross is sufficient, not only for your sins of the past, but where you're walking today. That doesn't mean we don't go before God and confess our sins. But it does mean that, you know, if you committed some sin and then died tonight, that doesn't mean that you're going to end up in hell because you didn't confess that sin. And for years, I've known there were a lot of people, especially many of our older folks, who had that sense that if I didn't confess this before I go to bed tonight, if I, you know, that I would not end up in heaven. I would not be with God. And that's not what God's word says. The blood of Christ is sufficient. Yes. One of my favorite things about God's presence is not only how it's there in those day-to-day things, but then the most precious part is how it flows over into worship. You know, worship is special. And sometimes in worship on Sunday morning, there's this holy presence of God. You ever feel that? And sometimes you're at camp meeting, and there's this great movement, it feels, of God's Spirit. There's this strong sense of the presence of God. But let me ask you a question. Is God actually more present at camp meeting than he is here? Or is God more present on some Sunday mornings than he is on other Sunday mornings? He's not, is he? God is everywhere at once. The clear teaching of Scripture is that God is present all the time. The prophet Isaiah reminded God's people of this. He said, "For thus says the high and exalted one, who lives forever, whose name is holy, I dwell on a high and holy place, and also with the contrite and lowly of spirit." Here's why. In order to revive the spirit of the lowly, and to revive the heart of the contrite. God wants to reveal himself to us. He wants to do that. You know, I think sometimes we think we have to plead and beg, and, you know, if we just, oh my goodness, we just struggle so much. And God wants to revive our spirits as we approach him in worship, and we do so humbly. God is ready to receive your worship, and he's ready to revive your heart. He's waiting to do that. So what's really happening on those times when we really feel him? What's going on there? Is there more of God than normal? Or are we in those times and places made more aware of God who's already there among us? Are we more tuned in? Are we more open-hearted? Are we more submitted when those things happen? Very likely all of those things. We approach God with a very superstitious mentality. If we say the right words, if we do the right things, then God will be there. Well, no, God is there. He's already there. We think that if we just hold our hands in the right way or point our face to the heavens when we're praying, that God will be more present. But God is always supernatural. He's a supernatural being. Beyond the natural. That's what we mean by that. And God is always, always present. God is always ready to receive your worship. Even in the checkout line at Walmart, he's there too. There is, however, a different way that he relates to us when we gather together for worship, for the purpose of worship, for the purpose of lifting God's name up. You know the "where are two or three are there" principle, right? Matthew 18:20, "For where two or three have gathered together in my name, I am there in their midst." It's not saying that he's not there anywhere else. But there is a sense that when we gather together that God is revealing himself. And he wants to reveal himself. He seems in those times when we're focused on God and when we're submitted to God and when we're listening for God, he seems more real to us because we're listening to the God who's right there with you. And in worship, we sing his praises, and some of the songs we sing are scripture. We're singing his word. In sermons, we hear his word spoken and taught. In prayer, we adore him. We open up our hearts to him. And God reveals himself to us, right? If we're ready to receive. You know, there are literally dozens of verses. As I was looking up, I it was hard to pick, you know, two or three just to focus on this morning, because I came up with so many different verses that talk about God's presence in so many different situations. You know, and if I would encourage you that maybe you want to do that, maybe you want to Do a little study on the presence of God. It'll take you to good places. It'll encourage you. We don't have time to go through all those verses, but I do want to say a couple of things before we close. The first thing I want to say is this: don't be afraid of God's presence. And I think sometimes we, you know, when we start thinking about this stuff, it's like we get the heebie-jeebies. You know, we start thinking, you know, remember last week I was talking about the God who spies? You know, the Santa Claus God, he sees you when you're sleeping, he knows when you're awake. And, you know, I think we start to think about God like that. Don't be afraid of God's presence. Yes, God is present and he sees and hears everything we say and do. But don't be afraid that he's going to then swat you whenever you mess up. His presence, let it encourage you. Let it encourage you. Let it encourage honesty in your relationship. Confess your sin and he will forgive you. God's blood shed at Calvary paid the price for those sins and is sufficient to cover our ongoing sin. We still turn our hearts to him. We still confess. We still receive forgiveness. The second thing I want to say to you this morning is take comfort in God's presence. God is very near. Right now, in these moments, God is here with us, moving among us. His Spirit is not inactive in us. His Spirit is moving and changing. He's working with us. He's right here, right now. And he wants to take your hand, and he wants to comfort you in your troubles and in your pain. He also wants to lead you. He wants to guide you. There are so many things God wants to do if we're open to it. So let God comfort you. And the third thing is let God's presence shape your character. When we acknowledge God in our lives every day, when you know, in the day-to-day stuff, in the pots and pans and all the other things, the diapers, or whatever it is that we're doing, if we acknowledge God in those times and live accordingly, believe me, there's no spiritual way to change a diaper. I'm just saying. We could find a way to give God glory, I'm sure. But as we acknowledge God's presence in our day-to-day stuff and talk to him and whisper to him, all those things that Brother Lawrence was saying, you know, confess or, you know, praise or, you know, all those things, as we do those, our character will change. As we recognize God in the day-to-day, he will reveal himself if you let him. At home or at work or school or Walmart, God is there. So worship him. And guess what? He'll reveal himself. And that's the last thing. God is present. So worship him. No matter where you go, no matter what you do, even right here on Sunday morning. And if we think about this, think about how even our worship times will be completely transformed as we acknowledge, as we think about, as we remember he is really present right here, right now. And as we focus on him and as we submit ourselves to him, think about the quality of the worship. It increases because you're acknowledging the God who is present. Let's pray. Lord God, when we come together to worship, you are right here with us. We go out to Twin Kiss, you're right there. When we stand in the checkout line at Martin's, you're right there. On vacation in Florida, you're right there. There is nowhere we can go that you are not present. You're present right now, and we worship you. And we ask you to reveal yourself. Make us more aware of your powerful, all-knowing presence. Let it transform us. We submit ourselves to you in Jesus' holy name. Amen. I want to remind you that during our last song, we're going to be taking, you probably saw it on the slide, we talked about it last week, we haven't really talked about it fully this morning, but we're taking an offering for the Deacons Fund during the last song, so you see them come and they're going to pass the plates, and the fund is used to help our brothers and sisters in need, also to fund the food pantry and to help out with the food baskets that we're putting together next week, and so... if you don't get a chance to do that today, you can still do that next Sunday, but that's what we're going to do.
Do you stand and sing our final song with us, please?
Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the praises of the King rise among us. Let it rise. Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the praises of the King among us, let it rise. Oh, let it rise. Oh, let it rise. Let the songs of the Lord rise among us. Let the songs of the Lord rise among us. Let the joy of the King rise among us. Let it rise. Oh, let it rise. Oh, let it rise. Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the praises of the King rise among us. Let it rise.
All you do, and let it rise. Let it rise. Let our praise and our glory of God, let it rise. Just a reminder as we go through the week, if you can drop off, you know, groceries and things that we can start assembling, some of the stuff we need to do basket distribution next Sunday, we'd appreciate that. It would help us out a lot if we could do that. And like Bonnie said, let's just see how much we can collect and see how much of a bounty we can give. Giving is wonderful. Lord, we are so thankful to be in your house this morning. We ask that you would now take us out into the rest of your house. Lord, we are your house. You are building up. We are the building you are making. You are the cornerstone of our faith. Lord God, help us to be remembering your presence every single day. And as we go today, we ask your blessing. And we pray that we will be a blessing to you in every way possible. May you be glorified in our lives this week. And may your love fall on each home. May you experience the love of God in every possible way. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Go with God.